won't, I reply with a laugh. Okay, I won't, but I will not speak to you for at least a month. You won't do that either. I flip the sign on the door to open and walk behind the sales counter. Besides, I just told him I'd go. Don't bail, she says seriously. He's not just attractive. Attractive might be the understatement of the century. Well, she has me there. What are you going to wear tonight? I frown. What I'm wearing right now. I won't have time to go home. I'll go to your place to get you something sexier. She taps her forefinger to her lips, looking me over. That's a great work outfit, but it doesn't really scream, push me against the wall and do me. Well, that's a relief. I laugh and rub the back of my neck. It's the first date. The chances of him making it to home base are slim to none. If a man who looked like that wanted to take me out, it would be my mission in life to get his pants off of him. Speaking of, who were you with last night? She frowns. I told you you don't know him. And no, he didn't look like Beau at all. Nobody looks like Beau. I really feel like it's your duty for your fellow women to have sex with Beau and then write an ode about it. You're stupid, I reply, giggling. I can't write. Oh, I think he'd inspire a limerick or two, she says with a sigh. I know. Let's read your cards. No. I shake my head and begin checking stock, making a list of what I need to pull from back stock. Ignoring me completely, Lena retrieves her tarot cards from her handbag and sets them on the counter. Cut them. No. It won't be as accurate if I cut them, she says with a huff. We're not doing this, I reply. You know I don't like tarot. Fine, she sighs and begins turning the cards over anyway. I don't want to know the future. That's one thing I can't read, and I don't want to. I'm happy to live in the present and let life happen. I haven't had my cards read since I was a teenager. This is interesting. Shut it, I reply. I don't want to know. It's not bad. No means no, Lena. Fine, she says again, and gathers the cards back into a stack and stashes them in her handbag. I want you to have fun tonight, Mal. You deserve it. Well, I guess we'll see how it goes. She smiles and wraps her arm around my shoulders, and the familiar love and affection wraps around me like it always does when Lena touches me. Bang him. No, I giggle. But if I do, you'll be the first to know. Hey, go big or go home. That's what I say, she says. Why do people say that? What's wrong with going home? I like it at home. Well, if you go home, take Beau with you. She brought me this? I stare at myself in the mirror and frown. I know for a fact this didn't come from my closet. She was sneaky and cut the tags off, but this is not my dress. I would never pick it out for myself. It's a simple black wrap dress with a deep V neckline that shows off the girls and makes me want to reach for a scarf, but I don't have one, and Lena didn't include one on purpose. She did bring my favorite red heels to go with it, and while I'll admit the dress makes me look curvy and pretty, I'm showing way more skin than I'm comfortable with, which was exactly her intention. If I didn't love her so much, I'd strangle her. I sigh and smooth my favorite raspberry lipstick on and stare at myself in the mirror. I clean up nicely. Suddenly there's a soft knock on the door, and there's Beau, peering in at me with a smile and a fist full of bright blue forget-me-nots. Not roses, forget-me-nots. Hi, I say when I open the door. I just have to grab my bag. You're stunning, he says before I can turn away. His eyes move from the crown of my head to my red shoes and back up again. These are for you. Thank you. I fuss over the flowers for a moment and smile up at him. How did you know these are my favorite? He blinks rapidly. I didn't. They're my favorite, and more personal than roses. After putting the flowers in a vase, I grab my bag and Beau leads us out of the shop and waits for me to lock the door. He takes my arm to guide me to his car and I stiffen, like I always do when I'm being touched, but it passes quickly.
You're getting better, he murmurs as he opens my door.
At what?
Letting me touch you, he replies,
then slams the door and walks around the car to join me. He doesn't ask any questions or even mention it again as he drives out of the quarter. Once on the freeway, he reaches over and takes my hand in his, kisses my knuckles, and smiles over at me.
It's not far.
I nod, but all I can think is it could be in Florida for all I care, as long as we sit here in the dark, my hand in his. God, it feels good to be touched. I've lived without it for so long, I've forgotten how soothing it is. But soon he exits the freeway and pulls up to a hole-in-the-wall BBQ place.
I hope you eat meat.
I do. I smile and my stomach growls loudly. I just realized that I haven't eaten much today.
Well, let's fix that,
he says as he exits the car and walks around to my door, ever the gentleman. I'm sure manners were ingrained in him from day one, or they're just genetically there, given how wealthy he is and who his family is. Bringing me to the BBQ place is a happy surprise, but I'm grossly overdressed for it.
Why are you frowning?
He asks and takes my hand again, lacing our fingers as we walk to the door. I think I'm overdressed for BBQ.
You could wear that dress to the supermarket and it would be appropriate, he says, smiling down at me.
Right, I laugh. I hope they have bibs.
Covering you up would be a shame, he says as the hostess greets us and shows us to our table.
I'm careful not to touch her hand as she passes me a menu. Molly will be your server, she says with a smile and walks away.
So, who hurt you?
Beau asks, as casually as if he's asking about the weather. Excuse me. He's staring at his menu, and he sets his jaw as he raises his gaze to mine.
Who hurt you?
Why do you assume I've been hurt?
I know the signs, he replies softly,
sets his menu aside, and takes my hand in his.
I know someone else who was hurt and has issues with being touched.
Oh. I sigh and glance down at the lit candle on the table, at a loss for what to say, for how much to say.
You don't have to talk about it if you don't want to, he says and squeezes my fingers.
I glance up, and rather than disdain or distrust in his eyes, I see genuine concern, and it only makes me like him more. I wasn't hurt, I reply honestly, and I'd like to leave it at that for right now.
That's fair, he says with a nod. We'll talk about deeper things another time.
I cock a brow. Another time? That implies that this won't be the only date.
Oh, this is definitely not the only date, he says with a wink. Not by a long shot.
Chapter 4, Mallory. Dinner has been fascinating. Beau is ever the gentleman with those inbred manners showing through all evening, and when he looks at me, those hazel eyes burn in a way I don't think I've ever seen before, in the best way possible, like he'd rather be devouring me rather than the ribs on his plate. He's asked me dozens of questions about the shop, my family, which I avoid, and my taste in movies and music. I feel like I've talked your ears off, I say as the waitress takes our empty plates away. I can't help but be a bit disappointed that dinner is coming to an end already. What about you?
What about me?
He asks, and slips his credit card in the folder holding our check. The waitress takes it from him with a smile. He's damn hot. I blink at the thought, realizing that it's not mine. It's hers. She's not wrong. He is hot. And he's with me.
I'm not a jealous woman, but that might have colored me a bit green. Mal, Beau says with a smile.
Yes?
What would you like to know? He reaches across the table and takes my hand, and I'm suddenly calm, just like all the other times he's touched me. I take a deep breath and look into his eyes, which are pinned to mine, not the waitress. Just remember that. He's here with me. What's new and exciting in your life? Besides the gorgeous woman I talked into going to dinner with me? His smile is smug, and he makes me chuckle. Are you meeting up with her later? Yes, I'm totally flirting with him. It's damn fun. He just shakes his head and smiles, that crazy hot grin that makes my nipples perk right up and the rest of me tighten. I'm so not used to all of this sexual chemistry. Well, work certainly isn't new and exciting, he begins, and signs his name to the check, then sets it aside and takes my hand again. I can feel myself relaxing with him, trusting his touch. It's the first time in my life that I've been able to trust physical touch, and I'm soaking it in like a sponge. Do you enjoy what you do? I ask him, and brace my chin in the hand he isn't holding. Very much, he says with a nod. It was always expected that I'd take over the company with my siblings, but it wasn't something I dreaded. My father made sure that we all spent time in the offices in the summer, working part-time. I always knew that I wanted to be a part of Bayou Enterprises. It's several generations old, and it's something to be proud of.
Absolutely, I agree with a nod. That's a wonderful legacy.
Are you a workaholic? He tilts his head and purses those full lips, as though he's genuinely pondering the answer. I can be, he finally says. There's a lot of responsibility that Eli, Van, and I all carry, but it's not a burden.
That's great. What do you enjoy doing besides working and jogging?
I don't really enjoy the jogging, he says with a laugh, but I do enjoy southern food, so the jogging is a must.
It seems to be working, I say, then feel my eyes widen in horror as I realize that I've said it out loud.
Why do you look mortified? He asks.
Because I didn't mean to say that out loud.
Mal, we're attracted to each other. It's okay to admit it.
I'll be honest, I reply, and pull my hand out of his, not wanting to touch him while being completely vulnerable with him. I don't date a lot.
Okay.
My gaze whips up to his. Okay?
As long as you date me a lot, I don't care who else you've dated.
What I'm trying to say, I reply, trying to ignore the enormous butterflies that just started doing the rumba in my stomach, that I don't have a lot of experience with dating. I'm not entirely innocent. I shake my head, disgusted with myself, and the way my tongue is all tangled and not explaining this the way I want. Suddenly, he takes my hand again and smiles widely.
Take a deep breath.
I comply.
Now, start over.
You're very patient.
No, not typically, but you seem to bring out some good qualities in me. Please, go on.
How in the bloody hell am I supposed to remember what I was trying to say when he goes and says sweet things like that?
You were saying something about not being innocent,
he prompts, listening avidly. Right, I say, and nod. I'm not innocent, that is, but I also don't date often, and I don't know the rules of this game. I don't know what I'm supposed to say, or when to say it.
This isn't a game, he says simply. I didn't invite you here tonight on a whim, Mallory. We're here because I wanted to be here with you. I'm attracted to you, both physically and intellectually, and I want to spend time with you. I don't want you to censor yourself. If you have something to say, say it.
Well, that's easy.
Is it? He cocks a brow. Being honest isn't easy for everyone.
I'm not a liar, I reply, without any anger. It's a simple statement. But there are some things that I'm just not ready to talk about.
As there should be, he says. You hardly know me.
Exactly. I smile and glance down at my watch. We've been here for 3 hours.
Time flies when you're with a beautiful woman.
Beau replies and stands, holding his hand out for mine.
Shall we?
I suppose we shall.
We walk out to his car silently, both of us lost in our own thoughts as he heads back toward the city. But rather than take the exit to the French Quarter, he keeps going.
Where are we going? I ask.
I want to show you something, if you don't mind.
I glance over at him, his face cast in shadows, then in the full glow of the lights of the freeway. He's simply stunning, and I don't say that easily. His dark hair is a bit long, brushed back off of his face in a clean style. He's also clean-shaven, with a strong, angular jawline and the kind of lips that were made to be kissed.
You're awful quiet, he murmurs. I can take you back to the shop if you'd rather, but I'm not quite ready to say goodnight yet.
Be honest, this isn't a game. I'd like to see whatever you want to show me, I reply softly and sit back, enjoying the sparkle of the city as we drive through it. Finally, he exits the freeway, driving through a beautiful, older neighborhood with grand homes. Is this near Audubon Park?
It is, he says with a smile, and I turn my head to look out the window, suddenly very nervous. This is an old neighborhood in New Orleans, which means there will be many energies here. I take a deep breath and pull all of my defenses around me, mentally preparing for what is surely going to be an onslaught of energy. Beau glances my way, frowning, but doesn't say anything as he pulls into a driveway, punches a code into the gate, and drives through.
What is this place? I ask.
My house, he says with a smile. It's currently under construction, but I wanted to show it to you.
You're renovating?
Fuck. Renovating old places makes them more active paranormally, which means I don't want to go in there. Not tonight. No, I'm building it from scratch.
He parks in front of a beautiful home with scaffolding around it.
I bought the property with an old house on it, but it was in such disrepair it made more sense to tear it down and start over.
Okay. This might not be so bad. Ridding the area of the old building and starting new is different than renovating. It's usually like starting with a clean slate. I can do this. I take a deep breath in relief.
Are you okay? He asks.
Great, I reply with what I hope is a sincere smile.
We're going to have to talk about those more personal things sooner rather than later, he says, reminding me of our conversation in the restaurant. Come on, there's electricity in there, so we won't be fumbling around in the dark.
Well, that's a relief, because I'm not terribly fond of fumbling, I reply, making him laugh as he leads me to the front door. When will it be finished?
It was supposed to be done 3 months ago, he replies, so your guess is as good as mine, but I'm okay at the flat in the quarter until it's done. I want it to be just right.
I walk inside, still prepared to protect myself from anything or anyone who might still be here, as I reach out with my mind, probing the darkness. But I'm pleasantly surprised to feel nothing. Just cool, calm, just like when Beau touches me. I'm safe here.
Beau turns on the lights in each room as we wander through. The walls have drywall already, so it has the shape of a house. There's no paint or flooring, but the kitchen cabinets are in. There are 4 bedroom suites, he says as he leads me further into the kitchen, still turning on all the lights. The master bedroom suite is on the main floor, and all of the other bedrooms are upstairs. Compared to the rest of the neighborhood, it's not very big at only 4,000 square feet.
That's a lot of square feet for one person, I comment, and rub my hand over the smooth quartz countertop. My tiny 1,500 square feet would feel microscopic to him. This feels nice.
He's studying me.
What?
He shakes his head. Nothing. What I love about this room is that it's open to the living space and the dining room.
It's going to be lovely, I reply, glancing about.
Just through here is an office, so I can work from home on occasion.
Is this a wine cellar? I ask, stunned as we walk out of the kitchen and past a glass door with floor-to-ceiling shelves for wine bottles.
It is, he says with a grin. He's almost boyish in his excitement for this house, and for the first time, I wish I could read him, just for a moment.
You love it here, I say instead, and watch his face as he seems to look a bit embarrassed. He simply nods.
I do. He takes my hand and squeezes it tightly. I've always lived in homes that have been owned by my family for generations, or that our company has bought. But this one is mine, not a Boudreaux palace, not owned by the company. Mine.
Good for you, I say with a big smile. That's wonderful.
We pass by a smaller room on our way to the grand staircase, and I pause.
What's in there?
Nothing right now, he says, and obliges me as I wander inside, turning on the light for me. It's an oddly shaped room, like a triangle, with a small window.
And the energy in it is amazing.
Oh, this is great, I turn to him. What are you going to use this for? Well, it's such an odd shape. I was just going to use it for storage.
That's a shame, I reply, and let his hand fall as I pace the room. The energy in here is just wonderful.
He cocks a brow, and I continue. It's a happy place. It should be a small library or just a reading nook, or maybe a place to paint. Are you an artist? He asks.
Not in the least, but this room is truly special. Please don't just use it for storage.
I turn to look at him, and he's leaning against the door jamb, watching me with lust written all over his face. I don't have to be psychic to see it. He wants me. He slowly pushes away from the door and moves toward me, his shoulders broad in his white button-down shirt, his arms hard where the shirt is rolled to his elbows. His jaw tightens as he gets closer, towering over me because he's so damn tall. But I'm not afraid of him in the least. He doesn't say a word as he lifts his hand to cup my cheek, his thumb brushing under my eye. I wrap my hand around his wrist and lean into his touch, soaking up his warmth. God, I've missed being touched. Being touched by Beau is like being touched for the first time in my life, and I never want him to stop. He lowers his lips to mine, brushes them lightly, nibbles the corner, and then sinks in for the kiss of my life. He gently urges my mouth open and licks my lips and devours me. His hand dives into my hair, and the wall is suddenly at my back as he continues to explore me in ways I didn't even know existed. He braces his free hand on the wall above my head, and I fist my hands in his shirt at his sides, holding on for dear life. Finally, he pulls back, breathing hard, his eyes bright and dilated. And in this moment, I know. His touch is safe. I can trust it. Him. I'm not bombarded with someone else's emotions, and I am free to simply feel my own while being intimate with him. So that's what all the hoopla's about. He smirks, and I realize I spoke aloud again. But I'm not embarrassed. Not in the least. He takes a deep breath and drags his knuckles down my cheek. I want to keep you here all night, he murmurs before kissing my forehead. So I'd better take you home.
I smile. He could talk me into staying, but he's not. And I'll be damned if that doesn't make me like him even more.
After the busy summer season is over, I close the shop on Mondays. Today is my first Monday off for the off-season, and I'm already bored out of my mind. Not that I don't have a shit ton to do. There's laundry and dishes and toilets to scrub, which I hate, garbage to take out. Basically, all of the things that get overlooked during the work week need to be caught up on. So, of course, I'm sitting on my ass, watching the shows on my DVR. My phone rings, and without looking at it, I know it's Lena. "Did you watch Sister Wives last week?" I ask as a greeting. "Do witches dance naked under the harvest moon? Of course I did," she chuckles. "I'm on my lunch break. Tell me about last night." "No." "Did you like his house?" I frown and pull my phone away from my ear so I can glare at it before replying. "How did you know he took me to his house?" "Hi, my name is Lena, and I'm psychic." "Well, get your psychic ass out of my head." "I didn't tell you yesterday when I saw it in the cards," she replies, as if that makes it all okay. "Did you like it?" "It's a great house," I say. "And he's a great guy." And he kissed me, and holy fuck, Lena. I'm pretty sure there were actual fireworks going off, right there in the room with us. "It was only a kiss," she asks, disappointment heavy in her voice. "It was a pretty hot kiss." "Okay, well, that's good. When are you going to see him again?" "He didn't ask me out again," I reply. "It was late. I'm sure I'll hear from him soon." "But you don't know because he didn't say, and you can't read him." I like not being able to read him. I don't have to keep my shields up with him. I can just be a normal woman. "I'm glad, Mal. Really, I'm so happy for you. It's about time something like this happened for you." I nod, even though she can't see me. "Are you having a good day?" "It's Monday," she says with a sigh, "but I'll muddle my way through it. Dinner Wednesday night?" "Just like every Wednesday night," I agree. "Text me later." "Okay, bye." "Bye." Just as I hang up, my phone dings with an incoming email. I open it and frown when I don't recognize the sender. "Ms. Adams, I need your help. My name is Lieutenant Williams, and I'm with the New York Police Department. I used to work with your grandmother." I stop reading immediately, delete the email, and stand, turning off the TV. Hell no. I don't do that, and I won't do that. Ever. I need some air, so I grab my keys and handbag and leave the house, driving toward the quarter. I don't need or want to go to the shop. I don't want to seem like I'm trying to get a glimpse of Beau. I agree with him. This isn't a game, and I'm no teenager. No stalking tendencies here. But I'd really like to talk to a friend, preferably one who knows Beau. So I go to Head Over Heels, Beau's sister Charlie's shoe shop. Because it's a Monday, the shop is quiet when I walk in. I'm not even sure if she'll be here today. But Charlie herself rushes out from the back with a smile on her pretty face. "Hey, darling," she says, "what brings you in?" "You," I reply honestly. "I was hoping we could chat." "That would be fantastic. You're saving me from dealing with inventory." She wrinkles her nose. "I hate that shit." "Me too." "It's Monday, so it's slow. What's on your mind?" I bite my lip, not sure how much or how little to tell her. About all of it. "You can trust me, you know." And as I look into eyes the same color and shape as her eldest brother's, I know that I can trust her. "I really like your brother." "I have three of them, sugar," she says with a smile. "Beau." "Ah," she nods and leans on the counter. "Keep going." And so I spill it all, the broken pipe in my shop, Beau helping me with the mess and then asking me out. Dinner, his house. The amazing kiss. And I am freaked out because I can't read him. "What do you mean?" I sigh. Might as well spill it all. "I'm psychic, Charlie. I can see the deceased. I can feel other people's emotions when they touch me. I can read minds. But that's all gone with Beau."
"Wait," Charlie holds up her hand, stopping me. "You see dead people."
I close my eyes, hoping I don't regret this conversation.
"Yes. And read minds."
"Yes."
"But not Beau's."
"No. All I feel is this beautiful stillness. I'm at ease with him.
Well, I think that's quite lovely, she says.
It is, I nod. But what about when he finds out what I am?
What about it?
I'm afraid that he'll run for the hills. They always do. And yet, I just spilled my guts to Charlie, and she doesn't look freaked out in the least. Of course, that doesn't mean that she's not freaked out.
Charlie is quiet for a moment, and then she walks around the counter and stuns me when she wraps me up in a big hug. It's full of affection and friendship. Happiness. She's happy for both me and her brother.
He needs you in his life.
I immediately mentally pull back, not wanting to intrude on her thoughts. When she pulls away, she keeps my hand in hers.
First of all, you should give Beau some credit. He's not rash, and he's not stupid.
Certainly not.
And second of all, you've been out on one date. There's no need to tell him this right now, especially since you can't use your abilities on him. You're just a woman when you're with Beau. So I say you enjoy that, and tell him in your own time, in your own way.
He'll think it's bullshit.
Well, I will admit that Beau is a practical man. You need to be prepared for him to not believe in the paranormal.
As long as he doesn't think I'm nuts, we'll be fine.
I think you should get to know each other better. If it doesn't go anywhere, there's no need to tell him. But if you think there's a future with him, then you should talk with him.
You're a smart woman, I say with a smile. I'm so glad I came in.
Me too. Just don't tell Gabby that you're psychic. She'll ask you to come do a seance at her inn.
I cringe. Yep, I'm just a parlor trick.
There's a ghost there, Charlie continues. We all have bets on who it is.
I tilt my head to the side.
So, you do believe in it?
Scares the holy hell out of me, she says with a shiver.
But yes, there's something out there. Too many unexplained things happen to think otherwise.
Interesting.
I haven't done a seance since I was a kid.
I tap my finger over my lips, considering it. Charlie grins.
But you have done them?
Honey, I don't need a seance to talk to the dead, but yes, I've done them.
And you know what? It might be fun.
Who in the hell am I right now? I haven't voluntarily offered to use my gifts for anyone in over a decade. But I like Charlie and her family. She doesn't think I'm nuts. And it really could be fun. Let's do it.
Chapter 5. Beau. I sent her flowers. I tell Charlie over lunch. It's been several days since I last saw Mallory. I don't like it a bit.
What kind?
She asks. Ranunculus. My sister looks quite surprised as she takes a sip of her sweet tea and wipes the corner of her mouth with a napkin.
Aren't you just the botanist?
I like flowers, I reply with a shrug. It's true, I do. I plan to have a garden at the new house.
Do the guys know?
Charlie always has been the smartass of the family. I'm trusting that you won't tell them, I reply. I know some things about you that you'd rather didn't get announced to the family. She just smirks. She's not afraid of me in the least. How's Simon? Simon is Charlie's fiancé.
He's great.
She shifts in her chair. He's doing some seminars in London this week. It's not easy to be with someone who travels so much.
No.
She shrugs and tucks her hair behind her ear. It's not easy, but it's worth it. I have to go to Miami late next week myself to check on the shop there. I trust that's going well.
It's fantastic, and my team does a great job there.
Charlie opened a Miami branch of Head Over Heels earlier this year. I hope you don't plan to move there.
No, I just like to drop in once in a while to make sure things are running smoothly.
Will Simon go with you?
I'm meeting him there.
I sit back and watch my sister for a moment. I like Simon well enough, but this is my little sister we're talking about. She seems happy, and she says all the right things.
Stop that, she says and glares at me.
What?
Stop overthinking my life. I'm great, and that isn't a lie.
You look tired, I say quietly.
I don't sleep well when he's not here, she admits and takes another sip of her tea. It's crazy how you can sleep alone for the better part of 3 decades, and then you're with someone for less than a year, and that's all shot to hell. Melatonin is good for insomnia. She cocks a brow. Are you a naturopath now as well as a botanist? You're a pain in my ass, I reply with a smile. It's amazing we've kept you around all these years. I'm the most charming Boudreaux there is, sugar. What would y'all do without me? It would be a boring life indeed. I'm glad that you found someone who makes you happy. I am too, she says, and studies me for a moment, as though she's trying to decide what to say next. Which is so not Charlie. Say it. Say what? You don't have a poker face, darling. I wink at her and laugh when she narrows her eyes at me. What do you want to know? Well, I talked with Mallory the other day, she says, surprising me. I know that they're friends, and I don't know why it surprises me and even makes me a little uncomfortable. I've never had this response to a woman before. Oh? Yeah, she likes you. I grin. Oh, good. I was afraid that she'd tell you during study hall that she was going to pass me a note and break up with me. You're a smartass. Seems to run in the family. She examines her perfect manicure for a moment, long enough for me to want to fidget in my chair. I've been in meetings with people far more formidable than my little sister, but just the mention of Mallory's name has me on edge. I'm not sure I'm okay with that. I like her too, Charlie says softly. She's my friend. She's Kate and Van's friend, too. Okay. I'm not sure where you're going with this. I'm going to spell it out for you. Great. She sighs and leans in, her elbows braced on the table. She likes you, Beau, and she has baggage that she hasn't told you about yet. She's told you? Some of it, not all of it. Confiding in the person you're attracted to is hard. There's always the chance of rejection, and it's hard to be vulnerable with someone. Charlie. No, let me finish. Mal is special. There are things about her that she'll have to tell you when she's ready. I can already see that, I reply. I've been with her, and there are times that she seems afraid of being touched. I asked her if she was hurt in the same way that Van was, and she said no. Few people are hurt the way Van was, she replies. Our sister Savannah was brutally abused by her ex-husband. So what is it? I'm not telling you, she says, shaking her head. This is hers to tell, and she will. Why are you even bringing this up? Because I love you, and I really like her. I like her for you. Charlie, we've only been on one date. But the chemistry is there, she says, speaking it aloud before I can. All I'm trying to say is if you don't see things with Mallory going long term, if you're just trying to get into her pants, let her down now rather than later. We've been on one date, I remind her again. I'm not ready to pop the question. No, but you're a smart man, Beau. You know already if this is someone you actually have an affection for, or if you just want to fuck her 7 ways to Sunday. Such a lady, I mutter, not entirely comfortable having this conversation with my own sister. Have you talked to her? No, it's been a busy week at the office. But she sent her flowers, she says with a smile. Yes. What did the card say? I narrow my eyes at my sister and consider ignoring this question altogether, but she'll just keep bugging the shit out of me until I tell. Do you like me? Check yes or no. She blinks rapidly, then dissolves into a fit of giggles. Oh my God, Beau, are you 7? I think it's funny. You're the COO of a billion-dollar corporation and you sent her that card. I'm a human being, I reply, and she'll think it's funny. Well, I bet she hasn't received a note like that since grade school. She shakes her head, tossing me a smile full of humor. You'll have to let me know how she replies. No way. Why not? Because you're nosy. I reach across the table and tap her nose. And it's none of your business. You're no fun. I want to see her, right now. On my way home from the office, I step into her shop rather than go upstairs. It's only a few minutes before closing, and the store is empty of patrons. In fact, I don't see anyone here at all when I first walk in. Her shop is small but cute, not cramped. She's made it feel homey with burning candles and a plate of cookies out for her customers. I take one of the peanut butter and pop the whole thing in my mouth. Delicious. I thought I heard someone come in. Mallory says, and I spin around and almost choke on the cookie at the sight of her. Her red hair is twisted up again, and I want nothing more than to shake it loose and brush my fingers through it. Your cookies are delicious. I brush the crumbs off my fingers. Did you make them? No, Lena's grandmother made them, she says with a smile. They're supposed to bring you luck. Really? She just folds her hands at her waist as if she's not sure what to do with them, and continues to smile at me. Then she jumps and holds her finger up. Oh, hold on, I have something for you. She disappears into her office for a moment and comes back holding a little white card out for me. You checked yes, I murmur, suddenly embarrassed for sending this to her. I did, and I'm going to need that back, please. Why? Because I'm keeping it forever, she says, as if I should have just known that. I waited almost 30 years for a boy to send me this note. Well, then, here you go. I pass it back to her, and she tucks it in the back pocket of her black jeans. Do you have plans tonight? I have a date with a tub of ice cream and my television. Well, I don't know if I can compete with that, but I'd like to take you somewhere. Her eyebrows climb into her hairline. Back to your house? I smile, remembering how great it was to see her in my place. She looked at home there, and I wanted to boost her up against the wall and make her scream my name. Unfortunately, not tonight. Somewhere else. I suppose the ice cream can wait, she grins. Shall we go now? I was about to close anyway. Perfect. She gathers her things, locks the door, and turns to me. Now what? We're going to walk, I reply and take her hand in mine, satisfied that the stiffness that usually comes with physical contact is brief. She squeezes my fingers. Have you been to the Odyssey? Several times, she nods happily. Charlie, Van, Kate, and I go there for happy hour sometimes. Well, Declan is playing there tonight. I thought we could listen to him for a bit. I've never heard him, Mallory says. I'd love to listen. I hear he's great. That he is. Do you have musical talent, too? She smiles up at me as I open the door to the Odyssey for her. No, ma'am. Declan got all of that talent in the family. We weave our way through the tall tables and chairs. It's busy but not packed, at least not yet. When we reach the bar, Callie, the owner of the bar, and Declan's wife, runs out to greet us. This is a sweet surprise, she says, and hugs Mallory tightly. Mallory doesn't stiffen or give any indication that she's uncomfortable at all, which makes me think again that she must have been hurt at some point by a man. It's the only thing that makes sense. What are y'all doing in here? Callie asks. Bo suggested we come in and listen to Declan, Mallory says. I'm so glad you did. Callie replies and waves at Declan, who is on the stage checking the sound. He climbs down and walks over to us. Declan, this is my friend Mallory. We've met, he says and offers his hand to Mallory, who pauses for just a moment before shaking it. How is the flood? Gone, thank goodness, Mallory says. We caught it fast enough that it didn't do too much damage. Good. Declan smiles and wraps his arm around Callie's shoulders. Are you sticking around for the set? We are, I reply. So, I'm sorry to be so blunt, but that's just me, Callie says with a smile. Are y'all on a date? Mallory glances up at me and cocks a brow, and I can't help but laugh. If it needs a label, then I guess so, I reply. Oh, that's so great, Callie smiles widely and hugs Mallory again. Oh, and I can't wait for our girls' night. Mallory quickly glances up at me and then says, which is for girls only, and the guys don't get to know what we're doing. Is it a state secret? I ask and tuck her soft hair behind her ear. My God, I can't stop touching her. I want to explore every inch of her. It's girls' night, Callie replies, as if that explains it all. We could tell you, but then we'd have to kill you, Mal adds. You won't even give me just a hint? No. Mal shakes her head, but the smile on her beautiful lips says she's enjoying this very much. What if I demand that you tell me? The girls glance at each other and then bust up laughing. You're not the boss of me, Mal says, but takes my hand in hers and gives it a squeeze. Sorry, but not sorry. He's amazing, Mallory says as we walk back to her shop. Her hand is firmly in mine and we're enjoying the warm evening. With fall approaching, the weather is milder, making more comfortable evenings. He has an incredible gift.
He does.
Has he always been interested in music?
Definitely. We knew early on that Declan would never want to be a part of the family business. He needs to make music.
How did your parents feel about that?
They encouraged him. My father was adamant that we all do what we love.
That's great. Is he still with us?
No. I shoved my free hand in my pocket to touch the coin I carry. He died a few years ago.
I'm sorry, she says, frowning.
We've made it to her store, but I'm not ready to say goodnight yet. Come up with me for a while. Her gaze whips up to mine. I'm not ready to call it a night, I add, hoping that she'll agree. She bites her lip, but makes her decision quickly.
Okay.
She follows me up the stairs and into the flat. I turn on some music and unbutton the top button of my shirt, roll my sleeves, and kick out of my shoes. Make yourself comfortable. Would you like some wine? She smiles and drags her hand over the granite countertop, the same way she did at my house.
Sure.
Once the wine is poured, we sit on the couch turned toward each other, sipping our drinks. The silence is comfortable. I can't help but reach out and drag my finger down her soft cheek. You're beautiful, Mallory, I whisper.
Thank you.
She leans into my touch, her eyes closed, and sighs. I like touching you.
And I like it when you touch me.
Her eyes open now, and she gazes up at me.
I'm not used to that.
You're not used to being touched or enjoying it?
Both.
She takes a sip, and I suddenly want to tear whomever made her feel like this apart.
I am an odd woman, Beau.
Well, we're all a little odd, Mal. I brush a stray piece of hair off her cheek.
That's true, I guess.
She takes another sip and then puts her glass on the coffee table.
Beau?
Yes, sugar.
Are you ever going to kiss me again?
And just like that, my cock is at full attention. But I just set my glass next to hers and turn to her, my elbow resting on the back of the couch. I'd like to just settle this right now.
You don't have to.
I touch her lips with my fingertips, shushing her. I plan to kiss you often, Mallory. I plan to do much more than that. I'm quite taken with you.
Oh.
She licks her lips and her violet eyes widen and dilate. But I'm afraid that once I start, I won't be able to stop. I had to tear myself away from you in the weird room at my house.
I like the weird room,
she whispers, still watching my lips. I seem to be rather fond of it lately, too. She smiles and tentatively reaches out to touch my arm. I don't say anything. I just wait, offering her a silent invitation to touch me, to feel safe to touch me.
I'm quite taken with you, too,
she says, lightly gliding her hand up to my shoulder. Not just with how you look, although it's something to write home about, but also with you. God, she's so fucking sweet. And I can't wait any longer. I cup her cheek and lean in, nuzzle her nose with mine, and then kiss her. Lightly at first, just giving us each little tastes. She surprises me by burying her fingers in the hair on the back of my head and holding on for dear life as she takes the kiss from soft and sweet to a fucking inferno. Jesus, I want her. She's pulling my hair as I guide her onto my back and cover her sweet petite body with mine, resting between her legs, pressing my dick against her core, wishing our clothes would magically vanish.
So beautiful.
I murmur as I kiss down her jawline to her ear and then down her neck. She arches into me, her hand tightening. She likes having her neck kissed. So noted. She drags her foot up the back of my calf and plants it there. Everywhere she's touching me is on fire. I need her.
Beau?
Yes, sweetheart. I kiss my way back to her lips and sink in for some quality time exploring her mouth. She's sweet, seducing me to the very core with her touch, her warmth.
We're wearing too many clothes.
I pull back and stare down at her. Her lips are a bit swollen and her eyes are wide and shining with lust. Her chest is heaving as she breathes heavily, and she has a death grip on my ass. I can rectify that. I grin and push my hands under her silk blouse. Her skin is smooth and warm and the best thing I've ever touched in my life. I'm a mess and I haven't even seen her naked yet.
You're moving awfully slowly,
she grumbles. I'm savoring this. I whisper and kiss her collarbone. I'll only ever get to see you naked for the first time once. I don't want to rush it.
You say the nicest things, she says. Do you always mean them?
I pause. Of course I do. I told you before this is not a game.
I know. Forget I said anything. I'm just dumb with lust. All of my blood left my brain, and now I can't stop talking.
I cover her mouth with mine, effectively shutting her up as I guide her blouse up, pull back to tug it over her head, and then resume kissing her as I brush my knuckles over her puckered nipple.
You're so responsive. You're sexy,
she says, and tugs my shirt out of my pants. Suddenly, there's a loud crash across the room as a huge mirror falls and shatters.
Shit,
Mallory says, staring at the glass.
She didn't like us kissing.
Chapter 6. Mallory. Who? He demands, staring down at me, his breath coming quickly and eyes slowly losing the lust that just shone in them. Miss Louisa, I reply, and sit up when he pulls away. Fuck me. For the first time ever, I was engrossed in a man and my own carnal feelings about him without being bombarded by his own thoughts. I didn't even notice that Miss Louisa was in the room until the mirror broke, which was her way of getting my attention. She's glaring at me and talking fast, but I'm not responding to her, and that only makes her angrier. I guess she doesn't like to be ignored. What are you talking about? Beau says and pushes his fingers through his hair as he stands and retrieves a broom. Could you wait to do that? I ask, and work on gathering my own thoughts. I'm still not acknowledging Miss Louisa, who's finally fed up with being ignored and disappears altogether. I can't feel her presence at all now, and I take a deep, cleansing breath. That mirror has been on that wall as long as I can remember, he murmurs, and sits next to me again. The nail must have given out. No, I tuck my hair behind my ear and offer him a smile. That's not what happened. Your hands are shaking, he says, and takes them in his, kisses my knuckles, and pins me in his gaze. Are you okay? Yes. We agreed not to lie, he says firmly. You're right. I pull out of his touch and cross my arms over my chest, already distancing myself from him. He's not going to like this. That's not a guess, and I still can't read him, but I know how most people in my life have reacted, and I don't expect him to be any different. Mal? I can see things, I reply immediately. That mirror didn't fall because of a bad nail. His eyes narrow, and he sits back, unconsciously distancing himself, and a little piece of my heart breaks. I'm not ready for this to be over. I'm not ready to say goodbye to him. I feel like I've finally started to live a normal life since he came into it. Why did it fall, Mal? I love the way he says my name. Because a ghost named Miss Louisa made it fall.
I see.
No, you don't, I reply, suddenly frustrated. You don't see at all.
Okay, tell me.
He leans toward me again, and I can't stand the thought of him touching me right now, so I stand, wrap my blouse around me, and begin to pace his living room. How did we suddenly go from about to make love to me explaining all about my crazy psychic abilities? I'm not sure how much to say, I reply honestly.
Tell me everything.
I stop and turn to look at him, memorizing every line of his face, the way his shirt fits over his amazingly sculpted body, and how he still has a bit of fondness for me in his whiskey eyes. I'm the latest in a long line of women with paranormal abilities. If I keep it sounding scientific, businesslike, maybe it'll come out easier. As far back as we know, and we have records going back about 800 years, the women in my father's lineage have been psychic, empathic, and or mediums.
Do they always have all of those abilities?
He asks, rubbing his fingertips along his chin, like he's thinking about what I'm telling him. Not always. Sometimes they've had one, or a combination of them. Sometimes they've had more, like being able to see the future, clairvoyance, and more scary things, like being able to climb inside another person's consciousness and kill them. He's staring at me, his jaw tight,
and I wish more than ever that I knew what he was thinking.
How many of those do you have?
I'm an empath. I am clairvoyant, and I'm a medium.
You see the dead.
I nod and fold my hands at my waist. Hence Miss Louisa throwing her little tantrum here tonight.
Do you practice witchcraft?
He asks, which makes me smile. People who know little about psychic abilities often assume that witchcraft is linked to it. I don't, I reply. They don't really go together. I do, however, have friends who do. Lena and her grandmother are two of them, and Lena has some psychic ability as well.
Why was that funny?
None of this is funny, I reply soberly. It's just that many people link witchcraft with being psychic, but they really don't always have anything to do with each other. He stands and paces to the window that looks out over Jackson Square and takes a deep breath. Look, if you're done here, I get it.
I cross to him and touch his shoulder. He doesn't pull away from my touch, which I take as a good sign.
It's weird, and for some people, it's scary.
I'm not afraid of you, he replies and turns to me, drawing me in for a long, tight hug.
Tears come now, but I don't want him to see them, so I keep my face buried in his chest and cling to him.
I don't want to be done here, Mal.
I distance myself from people for a reason, I murmur. I haven't done that with you, and it's felt so good.
We've agreed to be honest, and I really don't have anything to lose at this point.
Except him. But I might lose him anyway, so I might as well be frank.
Why haven't you done that with me?
I swallow, not sure how to answer him. Part of what I do is I can read what others feel and think when they touch me, or if I accidentally touch them.
That's why you don't like to be touched.
I nod. It's an emotional roller coaster, to say the least. Happiness, fear, sadness, anger, and every other emotion there is will hit me like a sledgehammer. I can hear thoughts, worries. Sometimes it's as clear as if they'd voiced it aloud.
What am I thinking right now? He asks.
I don't know. That you'd like me to leave and take my crazy with me?
He tips my chin up so he can look me in the eyes. You know that's not what I'm thinking.
No, I don't.
I don't get it.
That's the thing, Beau. I can't read you at all.